This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com. Welcome again to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman. Joining me right now is Yanis Shinaeus. This is our preview episode of Fulham's match on Saturday against Blackpool, which should be interesting, and I look forward to talking to Yanis about that. And as I always mention, we are live now on the Cottage Talk Twitter page, the Cottage Talk Facebook page, and please do subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're really trying to build up the YouTube channel. So we're live in all three places, Yanis. And if you have a question for Yanis, feel free to share it with us. And also at the end, a prediction. But Yanis, let's not waste any time. Give me your opening thoughts on what's been going on since the beginning of the season. You know, listen, we did our 10-year anniversary show, but let's look back at the beginning of the season. The only way it starts better, Yanis, is if they beat Middlesbrough. Beyond that, what is there to complain? So I want to get your thoughts on what we've watched so far from this team. And they deserve to be where they are, top of the league. It is on goal difference, but they are top of the league. They deserve to be there.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I always got the feeling that Neil Warnock's a bit of a wizard, isn't he? He's going to go and
fry us in
the stupid in that first game. We should have absolutely hammered the bar. But then, you know, getting the wins, I mean, Huddersfield, we thumped. Who would have thought they'd be in top four now? Unbelievable. Went down to the Den, hostile atmosphere, got the 3 points. Disposed of Hull City and Stoke fairly comfortably, and we still missed a penalty.
Yeah.
So we've played well, and, you know, West Brom up being up there, Valerian Eshmael's team being up there is not a surprise. I think they got a nice team, although they just lost Darragh O'Shea for several months with an ankle injury. And that's, I think, a very big loss for West Brom. So we're up there and playing well. We've got the thing with the international break. It concerns most Premier League managers. And Marco Silva's now really going to see firsthand how it really does impact on us. I mean, we've got Blackpool Saturday.
Yep.
Then we go up to St Andrews in the week to play Lee Bowyer's Birmingham. And that's going to be a difficult game. And that's going to be a tricky game just because they're playing well. They went to the Kenilworth Road and hammered Luton 5-0. And they look like a nice little team. A couple of nice buys at the transfer window. So Marco's having to deal with a nice squad that was announced today, but with the potential absentees and injuries that have come from the international break, with two games, one Blackpool, which is very winnable, and the second one, which is going to be invariably tricky. Let's not forget, of course, that we got through Birmingham in the League Cup and we have to play Leeds, and I'm really looking forward to that. That should be a super, super match. So I've been very happy. And hopefully we can put some points on the board again on Saturday, but we are going to be down some players, it looks like.
Absolutely, Yanis. And we're going to talk about that in a second. Has there been anything that has surprised you in the beginning of the season?
Well, I mean, the performance of Jean-Michel Seri has been a revelation. And I mean, we were all willing to drive the taxis to the airport to get rid of him. Let's be honest about it. Fabio Carvalho has been absolutely magnificent. Mitro looks like he's completely reborn. Josh Onum has been playing very, very well. And yet you've got Harrison Reed that's, you know, breathing down his neck. Bobby Reed has been doing his normal impeccable stuff. Tim Ream was, again, reborn. Denis Oudoir, of course, has taken over Kenny Tete. And I thought played very well against Stoke. And Cyrus Christie was included in the 25-man squad today.
I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, and I think that's very important. Cyrus got some time for the Republic of Ireland in the week as a call-up for Seamus Coleman. And that's good. This is going to be important for Marcus Silva, because if you look at the suffice of the World Cup qualifiers, and for that we've got to look at the Euros, and particularly CONCACAF, where a couple of our players, Ream and Robinson, are prominent. He's going to need every one of those 25 plus the little babies, the little youngsters that he's got as well. So overall, you know, very pleasing. But, you know, these are the weeks where managers, many managers, fret because they don't have their squad and they're at the mercy of players getting injured. And unfortunately, we found out about this this week.
Okay. All right. Let me just share this, because again, this has been a concern. We've also seen the speculation that Barcelona might be interested in Fabio. And that's a concern. You know, I'm not going to lie about that. But I do think, you know, and again, there is all kinds of talk out there, speculation that he hopefully will be signing a new deal. That Fulham are hopeful that he's going to sign a new deal. But I understand Steve's concern here, Steve Turner. I noticed no squad numbers for Fabio Carvalho, and that worries me. I really don't want to lose him. What are your thoughts about the situation with Fabio right now?
Well, in terms of Fabio and say, Stansfield and Tyrese Francois, they don't technically need to have squad numbers because they're under 21. So that's the first thing. So that's okay. That hopefully puts Steve's mind at rest. We don't need to officially register them as our 25-man squad.
Right.
In terms of the contract thing, of course, it worries me. If you look at players that we've lost previously, Patrick Roberts, Dembele, we are at the mercy of developing these kids from 5, 6, 7 years of age and the big clubs coming in. I'm hopeful that we're going to get a contract signed.
I hope so.
I think in the long term, assuming that we can get promoted, I think that with him at the center of what we do next year, this has got the makings of a very good team, providing he stays healthy. And lest we forget, we have 14 months till the World Cup. And he's a player, I think, with his skill set and his potential development, who could potentially be knocking on the door for the World Cup. I mean, I think a lot, I mean, I looked at the side of the game against Poland yesterday.
Yep.
You looked at the starting 11. Of course, Foden was missing. But I think if you look forward, I think 14 months is a long time. Players like Carvalho, Eberechi Eze, Harvey Barnes, Jack Harrison, these are players who I think that can definitely knock on the door. And players, and I'll get maybe unpopular opinion, players like Jordan Henderson,
yep.
Jesse Lingard, Mason Greenwood, who I'm not entirely convinced about, could find themselves at the outside looking in. And there are good players coming. So I think that providing we can keep Carvalho is a good thing. But the reports are suggesting that we're going to sign him. And I think we need to, because we're going to end up selling him for a good amount at some point. And I think in terms of the sustainability of the club, that's going to be a good thing.
Okay. And I'm actually just reading from the Fulham website about the 25-man squad list. It says registered players aged 21 and under do not need to be included on the list, mm-hmm. as they are automatically eligible to participate in championship fixtures.
That's correct. Yes. So that's good news.
Yep. So thank you, everyone, for commenting on that. And I should have done my little homework and caught that on the Fulham website. But, you know, there's a Goldman for the show. But that won't be the first one. Well, that will be the first one, but be the first of many. All right. Good stuff there, my friend. Any other surprises on the squad list? You know, and again, now we have the caveat of this, but Was Cyrus Christie the one that surprised you? Or were you not surprised?
Well, I am and I'm not, because I know that he was trying to negotiate a move away from the cottage. Marco Silva made it clear that he wasn't part of his plans, but he wasn't. He turned down a move to Nottingham Forest. And personally, I'm rather happy to see him stick around, because I still think we need the depth. It's 36 games. It's a long season. Something must have happened that he just, I think every coach has that, where they look at a player and say, I don't fancy. You know, and others might go, no, he's a better player than you think. But I think every coach has this. And where I'm going to use an example, look at what happened to Jesse Lingard at United.
Yep.
He couldn't get a spot. He went to Villa. He went to West Ham, and he was absolutely brilliant. And every year you have a few of these players that get loaned, and then it seems to rejuvenate their career, and all of a sudden they're back in the limelight. Cyrus Christie's still a Republic of Ireland international. Kenny is trying to rebuild that team, and they're not going to make the World Cup. They've had a miserable start, obviously, to their group. But I think it's important to keep Christie around, because at some point we may need him. And in any case, it's not to say that clubs won't come sniffing for him in the January transfer window,
right,
when injuries start to pile up because of the winter. And I think that I've got a lot of time for Christie, I'm sure we'll find takers for him in the January window that will pick him up.
Okay, excellent. All right, Giannis, obviously the focus is going to be on the Blackpool match, but what we're going to talk about right now has, I think, an impact on that. So let's talk about this. Mitro and Harry Wilson both got injured on international duty. And Harry Wilson, you know, again, it was potential concussion issue. And with Mitro, obviously, it's his face. What are your thoughts about both of these players? And Marco Silva really was, at this point, kind of a wait-and-see tomorrow situation with both of these players. So what are your thoughts about both of them? Do you think we'll see either one of them against Blackpool?
I think this is going to be a tricky call. Harry Wilson will talk about first, because he got it against Estonia, but according to concussion protocols, he should be out for 2 weeks. And you don't mess around with that nonsense.
No.
I think if he's put under concussion protocol, then I think you'll see him out for a minimum of 2 weeks. And I don't have a problem with that. I think injuries to the melon are injuries to the melon, right? It's a head injury. It can be very, very serious, and you don't take any chances. So I'm going to anticipate you'll be out for a couple of weeks. Mitro got an elbow to the face, and you saw him during the game. He played against the Republic of Ireland Tuesday. I watched segments of that game. He didn't look – he was okay. But he came back to the cottage with a black eye. I'm also wondering, Marco Silva said in the presser today he had a couple of issues. And I'm wondering if part of it might not be concussion related, because he took an elbow to the eye. It's still a blow to the head. So it's one of those things where Harry Wilson, I think, is definitive. He's out. He'll be out. He's not playing. But with Mitro, he might go, well, should we give him a few more days rest? He's had to travel. You know, he's had two road games. Do we give him a few more days rest and get him ready for the Birmingham City, when potentially you could play Cavalier up front? You could put Stansfield and give him his first league outing. You could, after 2 weeks of training, maybe throw Muniz into the mix and give him a few days and say, look, do we have enough in our armory to beat Blackpool? And my answer is yes. So I think for a precautionary measure, I would not be surprised if both Mitro and Harry Wilson are out. And as I said before, one of the problems about going on international duty, we're at the mercy of all sorts of games. And for example, if you watch the England-Poland game yesterday, I can think of a lot of Premier League managers who would have been shuddering at some of Jack Grealish got his ass kicked all over the shop for 90 minutes.
Yep.
Poland were physical and sometimes, frankly, dirty. That's Glick got done for pinching Walker's neck, and apparently it's been reported. So, I mean, it was ugly. Lewandowski, who's one of the best players in the world, funnily enough, was the most sporting of them all, but you expect that's his reputation. But a lot of the players just...
Right.
I thought it was just thuggery. And what can you do as a manager when your players are sent out on duty to play for their countries and you're exposed to the sort of nonsense? You live in the US.
Yep.
I live in Canada. And CONCACAF is a disaster because you've got refs who are useless. And you're playing teams like Costa Rica, Panama, El Salvador, Honduras, Mexico in the most hostile of environments, where it's very hot, where you've got people partying outside hotel rooms, where these players are looking to kick ribbons at you.
Oh, yeah.
it gives managers fits. So, but anyway, I think Mitro doesn't start this weekend, and Harry will not start this weekend.
Okay. And just to also mention some of the speculation or discussion out there, the reports are that he had blurred vision, talking about Harry Wilson, and they did run all the protocols. But again, it's now he's with the doctors with Fulham, so now it comes to Fulham to see if it was a concussion. I don't know. You know, none of us know. But it sounds like to me, like you said, Giannis, if it's a concussion, he'll be out for a while. But again, we'll have to see. When I hear blurred vision, I get a little bit concerned. He couldn't continue. He had to come off.
No.
So that tells me that there's something wrong. That tells me that there's something wrong. But we shall see him. And same thing with Mitro. We're going to have to see. But that's also why we have to have a deep squad for situations like that. And I'm just going to share a couple more comments here. And Steve, again, says, I was reading on Wales Online Post that Wales versus Stone again, that Harry Wilson is injured, possible concussion, will likely miss Blackpool game. That's what we're talking about. And we will have to see. Now, this is from Isaac. Mitro and Harry Wilson getting injured is why Fulham fans say the disclaimer, touch wood, before we say any optimistic thing. But I will just say this, Isaac, and back to you, Giannis. In most instances, I would say I understand all that because it's Fulham and everything that happens with Fulham, but this is a deep squad. Even with these two players out, Fulham have more than enough still, Giannis, to beat Blackpool. Okay.
Agreed. Yeah, agreed.
They do. Okay. Does it make it more difficult? Absolutely. They can still beat Blackpool. I truly believe that. But we do have to mention that they could be down a few key players. All right, my friend. Let's move on. Let's talk about a player that, again, people were commenting to me, messaging me from fans of the U.S. men's national team. Mm-hmm. They couldn't talk enough good things about Anthony Robinson's play last night. Now, he came on as a substitute in the second half, scored a goal, but it was more than that, as everyone keeps telling me.
Yep.
And this is a positive thing. Now, you do have the risk-reward when you deal with international duty, Giannis. But this is something that actually could be a benefit to Fulham, is you've got Anthony Robinson playing in the CONCACAF, which is very difficult, rough and tumble, as you just mentioned. But he is playing at a high level against players that, again, that are only going to help him play better. And he's playing with some very good players in the U.S. men's national team. I actually think playing for the U.S. men's national team can help him get even better with Fulham. I want to get your thoughts on Robinson, because I'm just telling you, several people contacted me.
Well, yeah, and it's interesting because the American media are up in arms after their first game. It was a 0-0 draw in El Salvador. The knives were out for the coach. And then,
oh, yes.
Then they played Canada, and I watched the whole game, and I thought we've got the best player in CONCACAF.
Hands down, I agree with that.
And I thought, I was very skeptical of the Canadian coach, John Herdman, when he took over, but he's done a superb job. This is a very difficult team to play. They're organized, got speed in certain areas. They've got a good goalkeeper, Boyan, who's a good leader. And so I think we surprised the Americans with the draw, and I think we were more than worthy of doing that. Anthony Robinson, I thought, played very well against Canada, and he played very well last night. Robinson has obviously come a long way from Wigan, but you could see he's one of the best players that the US team have, and that's what shocked me, because when I saw the lineup for the Honduras game last night, the first thing I said is, okay, you don't have Serginio Dest there. Weston McKennie was sent home.
Yeah.
You don't have Tim Ream and you don't have Anthony Robinson. Like, what the hell are you clinging to? Like, what a terrible looking lineup. It was full of kiddies. And then at halftime, the coaches figured out, oh, I think we better get our best players or players that can do the job. And Robinson's goal was very, very well taken. He's played very well for us this year.
He has.
So well that Joe Bryan's only been able to play one game, which was against the Brummies in the League Cup. I don't think Robinson starts on Saturday.
Okay.
I wouldn't start him against Blackpool because he's had to fly over from England, travel down to El Salvador, that's hostility, go back to Nashville where they had the game against the Canadiens.
And they go back to Honduras.
Go back to Tegucigalpa for that game last night. Very good result by the Americans.
Yep.
And then he would have had to have gone back to the US to get back to the UK. And I think it would be... I don't think he needs to play Saturday. I think Joe Bryan should be given the game.
Okay.
Give Robinson some chance to rest.
Get him ready for Birmingham.
Get him ready for Birmingham. Tim okay. Ream is an interesting one as well because Tim Ream...
But he didn't play.
He didn't. But the problem, again, for Tim Ream is the travel. He'll have had to have done exactly the same travel as Anthony Robinson. And it's still a lot of hours in the air. And that's why I was sort of relieved when I was looking at the training videos this week at Motspur Park, because Bobby Dacre-Dover-Reed and Michael Hector were not involved in the Jamaican squads.
Right.
And that was a relief because can you imagine if they'd been involved, you might be talking about more players are out. At least they are available, especially Bobby Reed, to go.
Right.
Whereas I think with Ream is going to be touch and go. But I think Robinson does not play Saturday. I think
okay.
Joe Bryan must play because he needs a few days off because the travel schedule is it's hard, man. I mean, having to play three games in 2 weeks in
that's a lot
qualifying, yeah, against some of these teams. I mean, they don't. I mean, you know, for those of you watching, I mean, you and listening. You know, you've watched the European qualifiers and you see all the countries and da-da-da. But one of the criticisms of the Euros right now is you've got so many patsy teams. I mean, England put out a B team against Andorra and beaten by four. But Andorra just beaten San Marino 2-0. You've got Liechtenstein. You've got Gibraltar. You've got Moldova. You've got Belarus. You've got the Faroe Islands. You've got Malta. You've got Cyprus. There are so many really, really terrible teams in Europe. But when you get to the CONCACAFs...
And it's a hexagon. It's
right. And you got the octagon. Right.
Yeah.
So now what CONCACAF did is they changed the qualifiers. So the first five teams were the highest ranked countries in FIFA. So you had US, Mexico, Honduras, El Salvador and Costa Rica, and then Panama, Jamaica, and Canada qualified from pre-qualifiers. And it's turned out to be better because each country gets 14 games. But the problem is we've got players, so I can think of four that are part of that, and it's a lot of traveling.
It is, to be honest. They're going to be going back and forth, and this is going to be going through March. So... Yes. This is going to continue, and I guess we're going to have to really watch this because the travel when you're going over to CONCACAF, I think, is much more strenuous than the travel in Europe because of, like you said, you're going from, say, the United States to Honduras to El Salvador to these other Central America countries. There's a lot of travel involved, so I understand why you're talking about the situation with Robinson and, of course, Ream. And we'll have to see how Marco Silva deals with it. But again, it goes back to the fact that we have this deep squad. And good point by you. Thankfully, Bobby Dacre-Dover-Reed and also Michael Hector did not participate. So that actually helps Fulham because when they come over to this side of the ocean, it's harder. Travel-wise, I believe it's much harder. And I think that's when you get in these situations that we're talking about now with two players that would start. We don't know if Marco Silva is going to start them. And you don't think that Marco Silva should start Anthony Robinson.
No,
I certainly understand that.
No.
based on how many games we have coming up. You got the Birmingham game. You have to kind of manage your squad. And this is one of the issues he has on his plate. Thankfully, the squad depth hopefully will help fill him out. Okay, coming up next, we're going to talk about the Blackpool match. I'm also going to mention a couple former Fulham players that are now with Blackpool. Okay, Giannis, let's now get into our preview of this upcoming match. And listen, let's give Blackpool a lot of credit. They came up from League One, and now they're in the Championship. And I know for a fact so many Fulham supporters are looking forward to going to Blackpool. It's an event when they go down there. They're looking forward to it. And but it's still a match. It's still a team that Fulham have to play. And like I said, we're dealing with some squad issues. So before we talk about Fulham, give me your thoughts on Blackpool.
Well, I mean, last time we played Blackpool, they were in, I think it was Premier League. And when I think of that, I think of Charlie Adam. And I think of their sponsors. I think their name was Wonga. It was like a debt collection thing, or, you know, cheap loans. And when they were in the Premier League, they entertained a lot of teams. And they've had a lot of problems with their the Oyston family, the former owners.
Yes, I remember all that.
And ultimately, you know, spare a thought for teams like Bury that went under, Bolton Wanderers, Oldham Athletic fans right now. What did they do? They invaded the pitch last week, and, you know, they're really unhappy with the ownership. And Blackpool had for many years many issues. Delighted to see them back in the Championship. They've got a fairly small squad. They've got two old Fulham boys in Husband and Garbutt. Garbutt was a boy we picked up from Everton on loan.
That's right.
Looked a good pickup. I remember seeing, I think it was, might have been his last game, one of his last games in a preseason against Palace in 2016, and he got his left ankle injured. And Husband came to us after the relegation. I think it was 2014-15. He was
that's okay. Right.
Went to Millwall, decent players, but weren't quite of the quality that we needed. In terms of, I mean, their best player is probably Shane Lavery.
Yes.
He's really established himself with Yates up front. I mean, he's now an international player, and he's certainly capable of scoring goals. But they're going to miss Connolly, their right back, because he got sent off during the 2-1 defeat down at the Den against Millwall. They're a workmanlike squad. They're not a particularly deep squad, but they will play it tough at home, and they will be probably buoyed by the fact that, from what I'm hearing, Fulham have completely sold out their away allotment, which is
exactly
for a nice day out at the beach and go and have a few wobbly pops or adult beverages. It's a team that haven't won yet, but they can't be taken lightly, as our friends the Cherries found out a couple of weeks ago when they were 2-0 up against Blackpool down at the Vitality, and Blackpool came back to tie it up. So they're
only
due their first win. They'll be worried about us. It's a game we should win with the lineup we've got out, but I don't think we should take them lightly by any means.
I totally agree with that, Giannis. You know, it's funny because I've been listening to a lot of Championship podcasts lately, and Fulham, I'm just going to mention that I'm hoping to get some members of these podcasts, hopefully, on Cottage Talk at some point. I'm just going to say that. And there's been one particular podcast that's been, let's just say, going back and forth with many Fulham supporters. And, you know, I have some thoughts about some of that, but maybe if I can get a member of that podcast on, we'll have a nice little chat about it. But regardless, I've been listening to several different Championship podcasts. There are several of them. And every time I listen to them, the conversation begins with Fulham and Blackpool. It begins with Fulham and West Brom. And it just shows the gap. But here's the thing about it, Giannis, and I keep telling people this, and I'll tell everyone watching and listening right now, you're going to agree with me on this. Anyone can beat anyone in the Championship, even now. The gap is much bigger than what we're used to seeing in the Championship. Mm-hmm. But Blackpool can beat Fulham. Blackburn can beat Fulham.
Yep.
But Fulham should beat these sides. And I'm just giving two examples. They should. Mm-hmm. There shouldn't be a team that Fulham shouldn't really beat at this point. They should beat every team in the league. They really should. But that does not mean that you can just show up. They can't go to Blackpool and just show up, my friend. They have to go there to win. And you brought up a great example because Bournemouth up 2-0, cruising, probably took their foot off the gas and then did a what we've seen a little bit under Scott Parker, maybe got a little bit defensive. I didn't watch the match, but I'm just guessing here based on some of the comments I've seen. And Blackpool got right back in the game. So they are capable of playing against one of the better sides in the division, which we will say should be Bournemouth. You can't take this team lightly at all, Giannis.
Yeah, absolutely. And for the members of the other podcasts that like to throw mud at our club and our supporters, I'm gonna give you a few examples. Stoke City, Bournemouth to an extent, Swansea City, who are struggling right now, Huddersfield Town. These are clubs that got relegated like we have, and they had the huge umbrella payments. It's not our fault that the rules are dictated the way they are. Yeah. If people do their research and do their job, and I don't give a shit what they say about it, but yeah, if they do their job, they will know the composition of our squad last year, rightly or wrongly, was that Tony Khan decided to bring a bunch of loans in, which meant that a bunch of the players that had taken us up to the Premier League suddenly were on the outside looking in.
That's
so you
right.
didn't have Joe Bryan, you didn't have Monsieur Dwight, you didn't have Tim Ream, you didn't have Hector, you didn't have Arnaud.
Niskins, Cabana. We can go down the list.
Right. So they were ignored. So they buggered off to all their clubs, had to laugh at Lookman going to Leicester. Let's hope to God he doesn't take penalties. But and all of a sudden, it's all money bags full them because we spent 12 million on Harry Wilson, even though it's deferred payments. You see,
right. We know the deal. Right. We know right. the deal. They don't know the deal. They don't understand that. And it's funny. And I want to give Fulhamish credit on this because they talked about it on their podcast. When we talk about some of these other podcasts, looking at Fulham and looking at all teams, they're looking at all teams as a division, right, Giannis, or as the EFL as a whole. They don't know these teams as well as the individual supporters do. They don't know everything that they can't know. There are too many teams. They don't know what's going on. We know. So when they say some things that, again, that they don't really know enough about, that's where the criticism comes on. And I understand the criticism. They deserve the criticism. But if you're going to really talk about Fulham in depth, talk to someone that actually supports them. Like our show, like Fulhamish, like Fulham Focus, mm-hmm. like the Fofcast, like yes. all the Fulham supporters.
Yes.
We know our team better than anyone else.
Yeah, and you know what makes it even more infuriating, I've got to say this, Ross.
Go ahead.
That, the second tier, I'm going to name them.
Yep.
Second tier podcast, all right? They blab and they blob and they blib. And they've had Benjamin Bloom on as a guest. Perhaps, yep. maybe, something in their brain will tell them to listen to Benjamin Bloom. Because if you ever listen to him, this guy is as knowledgeable about Fulham as he is about Blackpool, as he is about Millwall.
Ben does his homework. Yes.
In fact, his partner, Shay Lee, the little baby Enid, she yep. knows more than their podcast does. She's, at least when she picks the kits, she comes out with reasoning and she comes yep. out with cogent arguments.
Yep.
You watch this thing and go, what the hell bollocks are you talking about? What are you talking about? No, it's all nonsense. And you're right. Fulhamish, these are superb podcasts. They understand the club.
Right.
They understand the game. And because the financial game has to be understood as much as anything else. And
exactly.
So why don't you throw mud at West Brom? Why don't you throw mud at Sheffield United? They've got Sander Berger's worth 30 million they didn't sell. They've got right. Ryan Brewster they spent for 20 right. million. So how come you don't throw shade at them, but you throw shade at us? Like, shut up. Honestly. Anyway, going to get me riled up. But
I'm sorry, Giannis. And listen, I'm just bringing it up because I might be having one of the members of that podcast on here because I would like to have a nice conversation about all of this stuff and just in general. But to talk about one person who does his homework, and I'm not saying that these guys don't. Ben is excellent. He knows, I don't know how he does it, but he really does a lot of research on all these teams. He, you know, and that's why I've always said Benjamin Bloom, I think, has the best video series. It's not really a podcast, it's a video series on the championship. He is that knowledgeable on it. And so I want to give him credit. Enough talking about that, but listen, let's move on and let's get into this, my friend. So Let's start here. How does Fulham win this match? Now, again, like I said, you can't take a team lightly. You are Marco Silva. We'll talk about key players in just a second. But what do Fulham need to do to get all 3 points? They can't just show up, my friend.
No, and I don't think Marco's going to allow that. I think we've got to do what we've done in the first five games, which is come out quickly. Just come out quickly, attack them, get an early goal, which is what we have a habit of doing, and get stuck in. They've got centre-back in Keogh that's 35, 36, 400, however old he is. And they're not particularly quick at the back. We've got enough players, even if we don't have Ream, we don't have Robinson, we don't have Mitro, that we can cause them a lot of trouble. And yep. I think we will. Marco Silva is, he strikes me as a terra firma coach, as in he's very, very level-headed. And he's going to look at this game and go, Blackpool, okay, all right. We've got 13 points, it doesn't mean anything. We're not winning anything. We don't just show up and say, thank you very much. He's going to be up for that. And I'm expecting a very competitive lineup. And he's had a chance to enact some new things. And I'm looking forward to a good, positive lineup. And I'm looking forward to us winning up there, because I think that Blackpool will put up a fight. No disrespect. We've got enough in the army there to even if we've got losses, and hopefully give players a little bit of rest for the Birmingham game, which I think is going to be an infinitely trickier game.
Okay. But I will say this, because I will ask you for your starting 11 in just a second. Fulham have enough to beat Blackpool, and they should have enough players with quality, even with the situations that they have, to beat Blackpool. No disrespect to them. You have to take them seriously, but they need to treat this game like any opponent, like they just played Stoke City. You take it to them, and you get all 3 points. All right, my friend.
Yeah.
Who do you see as key players for Fulham? And then I'll get your starting 11. Who do you think needs to play well for them to get all 3 points?
Well, Seri had a lot of playing time away for his country during the international break, but assuming he's in decent shape, I think the central threesome of Seri, Arnhem, and Covey are going to cause major ructions. I just think that the whole team seems to function around those three, and whoever you got up front have got the ability to stretch the fullbacks, and whoever you got in the middle is going to have the ability to act as a good target man that will stretch defenders as well. I think those three in the middle will be an absolute key. One of the things about
when does Harrison Reed come back in?
Great question. I'm not sure. I mean, is the game against Brummie the game to bring him back and maybe give Onoma another game? Probably. I think I don't think you can. You saw yesterday with the England-Poland game where Southgate made one critical error, which is he kept the same 11 on the field. He didn't make any. Substitutions and the game management was a little naive, and the Poles came back in that. I think one of the things that Silva can do is do some rotation with the two games coming up. It's going to be three games in 8 days, and I anticipate that Harrison could come in for what will be a more physical game against Brummie. They're certainly going to be up for it, and I think that's what's going to happen. And just to make sure they rotate the squad and put fresh legs in there. And he's got players on the bench as well you can do that with. So,
okay, excellent there, Giannis. All right. I just want to share some comments. This is from our friend Cone Bugler. And this goes back to talking about Benjamin Bloom. And Ben says this all the time on his podcast. Leave your bias at the door, because
absolutely.
He just gives him facts. And I'm seeing all the comments about Ben's video series, and it's excellent. So I just wanted to share that. Okay, my friend, let's get to it. Give me your starting 11, what you would do.
Okay, so I'm going to think, right, so Gazzaniga in net, back four of Joe Bryan at left, Denny Odoir at right. I'm going to go with Tosin and Mawson at the back in the middle. I wouldn't be surprised if Ream starts, but I'm going to go with Tosin and Mawson. In the midfield, the threesome will be Seri, Onoma, and Cavallo. And up front, I think it's going to be Cabana on the left, Bobby Decordova-Reed on the right, and Jay Stansfield in the middle.
Really?
But yes, I think because when Silva said that Mitro had a couple of issues, we know that the one big issue was his eye, but what's the other one? Is it another body injury, or is it maybe a concussion related? Nothing was said. And I'm going to assume that we may just see him on the bench just because the Birmingham game is coming up Tuesday and he has a deep enough squad. So I don't think Muniz will be ready, but I think Stansfield will be buoyed by his performance against the Brummies in the League Cup. And why not give him this game? I mean, Silva could play it safe and put Cavalier in the middle, but I think this is the one where you know, Stansfield, he's going to get really, really good service. Bobby Reed is brilliant in whatever he does, and Cabano's trickery can cause, providing the midfield is intact, the strikers can operate, and I don't think you're going to miss much with Joe Bryan coming in. It'll be good for him, and this gives Robinson a chance to rest his legs. And if Ream doesn't start, Mawson has played well. So I'd feel comfortable with that lineup. There might be, the Ream Mitro thing is comme ci comme ça, but that's right. The 11 I'd go with.
Okay, Giannis. All right. Let's end the show. And if you're watching live, feel free to share your prediction for the match. What is your prediction for the match, Giannis?
Well, Floyd Aiyite is not going to play, so that gives us a heads up, I think. But I'm going to say, 2-0, Russ. 2-0. I know there's still a little bit of hesitancy about Gazzaniga versus Roda. Roda played for Slovakia. But Gazzaniga really hasn't done a lot wrong. And I think one of the things that has impressed me in the first five games is we've given very, very few chances up. It's Millwall gave us a test late. Huddersfield didn't do anything really. Middlesbrough scored a lucky goal late. Hull didn't do anything. And Stoke sort of grew into the game, but it could have been 4-0. If it wasn't for Mitro's miss. So I can't see them really troubling us. I think this is a game we should win. The Birmingham game will be very different. But I think we should be comfortable. Plus, we've got all those fans going up there as well, which I think is going to be great.
Okay. All right. I'm going to share some comments from the Fulham supporters. Dan Mason has 1-0 to Fulham. Let's see what else we've got. Good chance for players coming in to stamp their mark, agree with 2-0. Going with you, Giannis. Let's see. I love this. Own goal by Ralph Leach. I like that. Let's see. Kerr has 3-0 to Fulham. So there you go on that. And just going to share this because here's someone has a lot of comments to say. And here, I'll just share this. Blackpool 2, Fulham 0. See you guys tomorrow. Okay, well. Okay, I don't know if you mean Saturday, but we'll see on Saturday. Okay, we'll see what happens.
I don't know. I don't know about that one. Is he on the beach having Blackpool Rock or something? I don't know.
I don't know.
Lovely
don't
know. Place though.
Blackpool. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. Everyone's
absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
Okay,
we're not losing to Blackpool. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, I haven't given my prediction. And Giannis, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to say 2-0 to Fulham. I think that's a safe prediction. I'm going to go 2-0 to Fulham, and we will see what happens. Anyways, before we go, Giannis, it's always fun to do a show with you. And thank you for doing this on Thursday. We're doing it a day early because of my schedule. So thank you, Giannis, for being flexible enough to be able to do the show today. I appreciate it. Always love doing a show with you.
Always a pleasure, and I feel a little bit World Cup tuckered out because I've watched so many games. But there's been some really, really good footy.
There has been. And, absolutely.
And I'm not talking about the Faroe Islands winning a game. I will say this, though, and I know this is going to be unpopular, but I'll just say this. I think now that UEFA, the way I love that they introduced this Nations League where you got AACD.
Yep, I like it.
But I think it's getting to the point now with World Cup qualifying where I think that FIFA really needs to look at pre-qualifications because you don't see, certainly in CONCACAF, you don't see scores like this. You don't see scores like this in the African Nations Cup. You don't see it in Asia. You don't see it down in the Australasia thing. Yep. It's only in the Euros that you see. I mean, occasionally you get, you know, I don't know, the US play the British Virgin Islands and beat them 10-0. I mean, occasionally that happens.
Yeah.
But in the Euros, you're seeing these ridiculous score lines with and it's becoming with where clubs are playing, basically they're doing what England did against Andorra, playing the second string for World Cup qualifier, and it just so disrespectful that I really think that you're gonna need to start looking at the pre-qualifiers to determine clubs that qualify, because otherwise you look at each group and you go, okay, one decent team, one okay team, one not so okay, and two patsies.
Yep.
And it's really becoming daft. I just my feeling. But okay. There's some, I mean, look, Armenia, I mean, they're doing okay, but Armenia are second in Germany's group, for crying out loud. Anyway, that's just my bones.
Not a problem. Yes. I do want to just mention one more thing about our 10-year anniversary show. And it was also great that I was able to do a show again with Kyle on Monday. It was fun to have it all basically back to the future. But I do want to say this about you, because, again, I remember when you started on Couch Talk, when you first contacted me. And I'm just so glad. I'm so fortunate. Fortunate that I was able to do a show with you, that you contacted me to do a show. And it's just been wonderful having you as part of this, Giannis. I can't imagine Cottage Talk without you. So I just want to thank you for all that you've done for me, for the show. More importantly, your friendship. Thank you, Giannis.
Thank you, mate. I'm not sure if I was sober that first show. I don't know if I was. No, it's been absolutely fantastic, and it has had the being on the show has had the ups and downs of a Paitim Kasami brilliant
we've had some interesting shows to do because of Fulham and other things going on. There's been some interesting stuff, some drama, but you know what, in the end, like I said, the fact that I'm still doing this, we're still doing this, and the fact that we have so many people watching and listening, just thank you to everyone. But I just wanted to single out you, Giannis, because I was so happy when you decided to do the show, and it's just been great with you. So thank you.
Thank you, Matey Poos. Let's get some 3 points to celebrate.
Absolutely. Hey, listen,
if ABBA can reform, anything can happen.
This is true. All right. Yeah. Well, listen, it's as great as always to do a show with Giannis, but let's wrap this up. For Giannis Chinas, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you as always for watching and listening to Cottage Talk. It's the 90th minute and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are around. You've got your McDonald's share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van center to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.